question was asked, do we have sources for the bonfire that's lit on Lag BaOmer? Why do we do it? And does it stem from paganistic customs of the time? So when we approach our customs, a custom, a minhag, by definition, is usually going to be something that's not sourced in Torah. If it were written in Torah, it would be a din d'oraisa. If it were written in Talmud, it would probably be a din d'rabbanon. If it's not mentioned, so then that's where we start having customs. So we have customs about many things that we do. Our talis has black stripes. Doesn't say that in the Gemara. Doesn't say it. So why do we have black stripes? Oh, it's a custom to commemorate how we once upon a time had cheles. But maybe they'll find out that pagans had black stripes on their overcoat. Okay. There were customs that we had that when the pagans overtook them, we annulled them. There was once a custom that they would celebrate 8 days before the winter solstice and 8 days after the winter solstice. This custom was instituted by a person many, many years ago. His name was Adam. No, but long before the Gemara, long before Moshe Rabbeinu. His name was Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon invented a holiday. He had a holiday celebrating because when he was created the first year, he saw the days getting shorter and he got very uptight. He said, it must be God is making the days shorter and shorter and the nights longer and longer, and it's all my fault because I ate from the forbidden fruit. So he took 8 days to fast and pray over this. And then, when the winter solstice hit, June 21st, so he took, and then things started getting better, the days started getting longer, Adam came to a realization, oh wow, this is nature. You see, now the days are getting longer.
God just didn't do that, okay, except that you're fasting.
He inferred that there's a system here, there's a logic here, so he celebrated for 8 days. And then the next year, he said, let me celebrate those first 8 days before the winter solstice that I fasted last year, now that I know it's all part of nature. So he had 2 8-day holidays, one before the winter solstice, one after the winter solstice. Now, if the winter solstice is December 21st and it ends December 29th, so then the pagans came along and invented New Year's, and they gave it other names, Latin names. And they invented their holidays of celebrating between the 25th, the 21st, all kinds of holidays. And so we stopped having this custom. Now this custom again, here you have a custom from Adam Arishon. Adam Arishon made a celebration. Okay. There were customs that dated back to Moshe Rabbeinu. There were customs that date back to King David, to Shlomo HaMelech. There are customs, and different generations for different reasons have different customs. And the fact that there are similar customs among the nations, right, but go prove who copied whom, who came first. So we've been giving Hanukkah gelt for centuries. If you look at the texts, centuries ago they would give Hanukkah gelt. They would give gifts on Hanukkah. It says it in the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. Long before the retailers discovered that it's a very good thing to give Christmas gifts so that people will buy gifts. So today people say the whole idea of giving Hanukkah gifts came from the Christians. Why don't you check the history books? See how they celebrated Christmas 200 years ago and see how we celebrated Hanukkah 400 years ago. And you'll see that 200 years ago, as far as I understood, they were not giving gifts. And 400 years ago, we were giving money. I'm saying there are, just check the sources. So before people assume things, like people say it's an American thing to give gifts on Hanukkah. No, it isn't. It's in the Magen Avraham on the Shulchan Aruch. It predates the Jews living in America. It predates Columbus. Okay, not Columbus, but almost that far back. I'm saying it's an ancient custom to give gifts on Hanukkah. You don't have to. I'm not saying you have to give gifts on Hanukkah. I'm just saying it predates Christmas. It predates that form of celebrating Christmas. I'm not so quick to accept what people tell me that the Jews took from the pagans very often, if you verify, you start discovering it's not exactly the way it worked. So that's a general overview. Now, with regards to lighting bonfires on Lag BaOmer, Jews did not light bonfires on Lag BaOmer. What we find is that in ancient times, meaning centuries ago, there was a custom to light bonfires by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in Meron. And then over years it spread out throughout Israel. But it was a custom to light bonfires there. And here we have different explanations as to why they did it. We'll go with the easiest one to understand, that they had a tradition that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away on this day, and asked that the day that he passes away would be a day of celebration. And so, if ordinarily when a person passes away, we want to show, we light a candle, or more preferably, our custom is that we light a Yahrzeit lamp, meaning you light a wick in oil, in memory of someone. I know today everyone lights those paraffin candles, but once upon a time, and Sephardim do it till today, they would light a wick in oil in memory of someone. And the idea is that the flame is a memory. It shows, the Pasuk says, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. Hashem's lamp is the soul of man. That's the lamp Hashem, so to speak, lights up the world with. He sends down human souls. So when a person passes away, we light a candle, we light a wick that commemorates that person's soul's passing. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai left the world much more lit up than other people. So on the day of his passing, we light a bigger flame. We don't just light a wick. If he taught so much, so we light a bigger form of a fire. This was the custom by his graveyard. Now, again, the custom of lighting candles by someone's grave goes back to millennium. Meaning, we have sources that by Yechezkel's grave, they lit candles. By Yeshaya's grave, we studied this in our Jewish history. This custom goes back to First Temple period. I'm saying in terms of lighting candles by someone's grave. So if you can prove to me that there was a pagan custom 2 millennium ago, which I don't think you can, of lighting wicks by someone's grave, then there's what to talk about. But the custom of actually lighting a wick by someone's grave is quoted in history books dating back to the First Temple period, to the time of the First Beit HaMikdash. And it's true that probably non-Jews also lit candles by graves. That could be. Could be. But who's to know who copied whom? I assume we did not copy them. They might have copied us. And it could be, as the Rambam explains, that there are concepts which the non-Jews get right. That either from the days of Adam, or the days of Noah, or the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they got it right. Rambam says there are concepts that the non-Jewish world had before the Torah, and they had them either from Adam HaRishon, or they had them from somewhere, but they got it right. Rambam says the world used to give a double portion to the firstborn before the Torah said to do it. Rambam gives a few examples. We see the concept of Yibum existed before the Torah was given to us. Well, the Torah tells us that before the Torah was given, there was Yibum, that Yehuda had his children marry. Rambam says that there were mitzvot that the world practiced before the Torah was given. I don't think the Rambam had access to the codes of Hammurabi, though he might have, but Rambam says, don't be surprised, there were things that the world observed before the Torah was given. Not everything the world did was wrong. Some things they got right. We had a class where we discussed that our tradition is that Hashem sent a system to the world already in the days before Noah. In the days of Metushelach, Hashem sent some version of the Torah down to the world. And there are other sources in the Gemara and Midrashim that say that Hashem sent the Torah to the world in numerous attempts before He gave it to the Jewish people. So the fact that there were prophets who taught a system that was godly before Moshe Rabbeinu came to the scene, yes, our sages tell us there were. So is it far-fetched to say you're going to find versions that are similar to Torah in other nations? But our sages said that before you found it. Meaning the Midrashim say, the Pasuk says, Hashem Misinai Ba, Hashem appeared to the Jewish people at Sinai, Vizarach Miseir Lamo, but when He came to the Jewish people at Sinai, it was after He had already shown His light in Seir. Hofia Mehal Paran, Hashem came to the Jewish people after He had sent some version of Torah to Paran, to the mountains of the Middle East. In the area of the Middle East, they had versions of Torah. The Pasuk says it according to our tradition. So now you'll tell me, but we found a text that's similar to Torah. Okay, our tradition is that that's what the Pasuk's telling you, that before we were given the Torah, Hashem offered versions of it to other nations. What does that mean? Some kind of prophet showed up and offered a system. They adopted more, they adopted less. So, coming back to this point, the custom of lighting fires is quoted initially as a custom that was done specifically in the area of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Later sources say the custom spread in Israel, that a lot of people in Israel would do it. And today in Israel it's a widespread custom, but I don't think in Chutzlarts it is. When I was growing up, they did not light bonfires on Lag BaOmer. Right, in Chutzlarts, I don't think it was practiced. I don't think it is practiced.
That could be more cultural, opposed to a more religious thing.
Could be, and in the text it says the different sources that discuss it. It's quoted as a custom in Israel. It certainly seems like that was the custom here.